Well, summer's on us. I see some of you waving your bulletins as if they're fans, but it's even hotter outside. We did a prayer walk yesterday morning, and even in the cool of the morning with a little breeze, it was very warm. Activities in the afternoon prove that. Many are out of school and vacationing, but one great indication summer's here is that Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow. And if you haven't noticed, this stuff right here is supposed to be a stadium. I like it. I have to confess, I was looking at these people. There's some of them really excited about a football game. It'd be nice if we get that excited about Jesus sometime. But they look really excited about being there. And I think we ought to be excited about Vacation Bible School because it presents a great opportunity for us. Summer camps will be in the end of the month, middle to the end of the month. It'll be a great time for fun and learning this coming week especially. And I hope that we're found ready as a church, faithful, to share the gospel with children, seeing God work in our midst in a mighty way. Been a lot of preparations that have been taking place this past week. People were on campus putting stuff up on the walls and cutting and pasting and, well, maybe not pasting, but at least getting stuff adhered to the walls. And when we have camps later, we'll find that we're sending kids and youth out and adults out to other settings. We're praying that they'll be challenged, opportunities be presented for them to hear the gospel, some who've never heard the gospel before, and that'll be the case this coming week. Some that have heard the gospel but need to be a little more grown in that to walk with the Lord in a way that honors Him. So I'm impressed also to remind you that we start that discipleship opportunity tonight. That's another opportunity for us to grow, to know more about the Lord, and also to be challenged in our walk with Him. And so I'm hoping that we'll be faithful to all that's happening in our midst here in the next month and in the month to come. In light of the prospect for all these opportunities that are before us, I was compelled to take us to Acts chapter 18 this morning. One passage of Scripture that struck me, it comes right in the middle of a greater context, but never does the Lord put a passage of Scripture in the Bible where it does not have significance. And so this morning I want us to see Acts chapter 18 verses 24 through 28. Let's stand together as we read these few verses. Then we're going to spend some time looking at that and what it means for us today in this coming week and in this coming month. In verse 24, Luke wrote these words as he journaled the travels of Paul. Now a certain man, a certain Jew named Apollos, an Alexandrian by birth, an eloquent man, came to Ephesus, and he was mighty in the Scriptures. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John. And he began to speak out boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wanted to go across to Achaia, the brethren encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he had arrived, he helped greatly those who had believed through grace. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Let's pray. Father, this morning our desire is to hear from You. Lord God, to hear clearly, to be challenged, perhaps to find a way to apply this Bible truth, this narrative to our own lives. Most of all, Father, to be submitted to Your Spirit as You speak into our lives, to hear You, and then, Lord God, to respond in a way that would honor You. Help us, Father, to get into that place this morning. Give us ears that hear. Give us spiritual heart that is receptive. Lord God, speak to us in the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. I believe I knocked down part of our decorations. If you want one of these, we got a lot of them in the office. Just Just saying. This account, as I mentioned, found in a larger context, Acts, largely after we find Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 14, 15, and on, we find these missionary journeys that the Apostle Paul undertook as he felt compelled by the Lord to go to different areas of the world. It was amazing for us to have been in Turkey. That's where a lot of Paul's work took place, was in Turkey. In fact, when you go to the book of Revelation, if you're bold enough to go into that book and recognize it as a book of encouragement and motivation, you find that Jesus desires for John to write this letter to seven churches that are in Turkey, modern-day Turkey. They're in what was called Asia, and they're on the west coast of what today is Turkey, and Ephesians and Laodicea and Pergamum and Sardis and Thyatira. All of those churches were in that area on the west coast. Right off the coast was the little island of Patmos where John had been exiled, and he wrote to these churches as the Lord Jesus Christ instructed him. Well, Paul was doing ministry in that particular area of Turkey. In fact, in chapter 19, verse 1, came about while Apollos was at Corinth, and we'll look at that in a moment. Paul, having passed through the upper country of Turkey, came to Ephesus, Ephesus being right there. Well, Apollos is arriving in Ephesus. That's what we read in our text a little bit earlier. A certain man named Apollos, Alexandrian by birth, eloquent man, came to Ephesus. So he came to that place and was taken aside. We're going to look at that account a little bit because I believe it's important for us to note what was happening here and really sets the table for what we're going to be experiencing this next week and in the weeks to come as we have vacation Bible schools and even our Sunday school experience of learning, putting ourselves in a position to be willing to learn. The first thing to note here is Apollos, a certain Jew named Apollos. Scripture says he was an Alexandrian by birth. I looked at my little book of maps in the back of the Bible. And listen, most of you probably have maps in the back of your Bible. Oh, unless you have a phone. And maybe you can find maps, Bible maps on your phone. But this is a map of Paul's missionary journeys, and it shows by indicated by different colored arrows where he went on his journeys. And on this third missionary journey, Paul made his way back to Ephesus so that he might minister to them. But we find that this Jew, Apollos, was an Alexandrian. Well, that's not even in Turkey. By my map, if you go south below Turkey across the Great Sea or the Mediterranean Sea, up in northern Egypt is a place called Alexandria. And Alexander the Great pretty much established that area when he ruled. And Alexandria is where Apollos was born. Alexandria had a large population of Jews in those days. Those who had scattered and moved away from the persecution that was happening, there was a large body of people in Alexandria who were Jews. And so Apollos happened to make his way up across the Mediterranean Sea. He may have gone along the coastline there, along Palestinian area, and then down through the land of Turkey to make his way to Ephesus. But somehow he came to Ephesus having been an Alexandrian by birth. But what we find also, he was an eloquent man. He had a way with being able to speak. He was articulate enough to take what knowledge he had and to share it with others in an understandable manner. I love looking at this. The passage tells us he was mighty in scriptures. That means that he knew the Lord's Word. Scriptures, anytime you see that in the New Testament, it points back to Old Testament. The Old Testament is the Scriptures of the New Testament times. The New Testament wasn't developed yet because Paul and the other apostles were writing those letters and would later be formed into what we know as the New Testament and then included in the larger body of Old Testament and New Testament writings to be the Bible. So their scriptures were the Old Testament. This man was mighty in the scriptures. He had been instructed. We're not told who instructed him, but we do know that most Jewish young men went to schools and they learned about their scripture. They studied the scrolls. They had some great teacher that would teach them. Apollos had studied. And he was mighty in those scriptures. Excuse me. He knew them very well. He had studied them enough to know exactly what they meant. Knew that they had pointed, that many were prophetic, historical. They pointed to a coming Messiah, and he believed in a Messiah. When you see the description of him noted here, verse 25 says he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. Not just about Scripture, but in how to walk with the Lord. And that's really what the Scripture teaches us. How to walk in the Lord. The Old Testament has a couple of times that, or more than a couple, but a couple I'll address that reveal what this way of the Lord is. God had used this language in Genesis chapter 18 to describe Abraham. Verse 17 says, "The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." This is God's description of Abraham, that he walk in the way of the Lord. Walk in righteousness, walk in morality, walk in truth, walk by the Spirit, follow what the Lord has instructed. That was his description of Abraham and his charge to Abraham in the days that were to come. In Psalm chapter 25, we find another description regarding the way of the Word, the way of the Lord. Verses 25, verse 8 and 9. "Good and upright is the Lord," says the psalmist. "Therefore, he," the Lord, "instructs sinners in the way." This way that is of the Lord, this way that is right and truthful. "And he leads the humble in justice." He teaches the humble his way. We get some clues there that those who walk in the way of the Lord are teachable and they're humble. They're willing to hear the ways of the Lord and they yield themselves to it. So this man, Apollos, had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He'd been submissive to the teachings that would help teach him how to walk with the Lord. And the thing that was attached to that, being fervent in spirit. Apollos had a zeal for teaching the truth of God to others, for declaring what God had revealed to him. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit, it just says in his own spirit he was fervent. He was excited about being able to teach truth to others. We put all that together with being eloquent. We see that Apollos had great knowledge of the Word. He was impressive in his ability to speak that truth to others, and he was fervent in spirit with this passion. And then, because of that, he was speaking and teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. Now, this may confuse some. A little bit later, we hear that Aquila and Priscilla pull him aside and teach him more accurately. But he was teaching what he knew accurately. What did he know? We're not really told in detail what he did know, but we do know that it says what he did know of Jesus, the things concerning Jesus, being acquainted only with the baptism of John, that would indicate that he knew that Jesus had been baptized by John. John had declared when he baptized him, "This is the one that we're to be prepared for. This is the one we were baptized to be prepared in heart to receive, was this Messiah." Apollos didn't know any more beyond that. It becomes clearer when we find out that Aquila and Priscilla heard him and they took him aside and explained to him more accurately. I think it's important that we catch this. He didn't have the rest of the story. What he did have was truth. And they were impressed with his eloquence, with his zeal, with his knowledge, the accuracy of the Scripture, the way that he spoke it. And he was speaking it in public. I mean, he wasn't hiding anything. He was sharing what he knew and spoke boldly in the synagogue. So when Priscilla and Aquila heard, they pulled him to the side. And they spoke to him more accurately. I think we need to stop here for a moment and think about this. There are going to be children this week, maybe even some adults, that will be coming to our campus this week. Parents will be bringing their children. On Parents' Night, they'll be in the house with us as their children sing and present what they've learned, and as we have opportunity to share how grateful we've been to be able to have their children here. Well, we'll have folks on our campus this week attending in camps later this month who have some knowledge of God. They know something about Jesus. They've heard about Him. Doubtless they've heard about Him as our culture is beginning to transform, and there's talk about how if you're a believer of Jesus, you're a hate monger, and you really don't love people because you're judgmental about the way people want to live. And so there's probably some idea about God and Jesus. But hopefully when they come to this place, we'll take and we'll be able to more accurately share with them who Jesus really is. That He's a God of love. He is a God of truth. He is a God of a standard that's moral and upright and pure. But He's also a God who loves and out of grace and mercy has made a way for us to be forgiven of our sin because we're sinners. And hopefully we'll be faithful to be like Aquila and Priscilla and to take these children, to love on these parents and guardians, and to help them to know Jesus more accurately. They were faithful to do that with Apollos so that he would be used as an instrument of sharing the gospel. And he was. We find later in scriptures that Apollos was assigned to stay at Ephesus and teach for a period of time after a while. He was counted on. He was like Paul. In fact, when he goes to Corinth, as the passage tells us a little bit later, there becomes some factions there. Paul addresses them in the Corinthian letter. Some of you are saying you're of Cephas, and some are saying you're of Paul, and some are saying you're of Apollos, because these were all strong, accurate teachers of the truth of the gospel. And so Apollos becomes a very strong speaker, but we find that someone took the time to invest in him. Someone took the time to hear and then care enough to be able to sit down and speak with him. You can rest assured that those who come on our campus this week, that there are going to be some who need to hear the rest of the story of Jesus. And you and I have that great privilege. Listen, it's an opportunity. For some, you might say, oh, the week of VBS always wipes me out and I'm always so tired and the kids, they're just running everywhere and you can't control it. What a great opportunity and privilege that God has given us to be able to have these children in our presence and to be able to have opportunity to invest in their lives and to more accurately share about the truth of our Lord so that lives might be transformed. That's the purpose. That's why we have Vacation Bible School. And we see that happen every year. We see professions of faith. We see lives being changed. We see sometimes our young people don't come to us until 3-4 months later and say, okay, at Vacation Bible School, I said yes to Jesus, and we finally get to baptize them. But it happens. And so it's an honor and it's a privilege. And I hope that we find ourselves faithful to that task. We all have that same privilege of taking these aside. And so I pray that we're being ready. How do we be ready? How do we be ready? That's real good articulation. That's eloquence. How can we be ready? Pray. Prayer is the last resort for many of us. But prayer is the first response we ought to have to anything we have to do with our Lord, anything we have to do in our life. We should pray, first off, that we have a clear vessel, a clean, pure vessel through which the Holy Spirit can work this week. We need to be praying for ourselves, that we are right with the Lord, that we have our minds in the place that the Lord wants our minds to be. To know that we do have a great high calling before us to minister the grace of the gospel to little children. You might say, well, I'm not a teacher. I'm not going to be the one doing Bible study. No, but you're going to be an instrument that God will use. Whether you're one that's just there to help herd the children, made them sound like cattle, but to get them together, get them in the place they need to be, to settle them down. If you're working in the kitchen, you're not even seeing the kids, you're putting food together. You might be somebody that's doing records back behind the scenes. Maybe you're up in the crow's nest doing things. Every single person is crucial to the ministry that we'll be doing this week. Every single person. And you might say, well, I'm not going to be here. I got to work. So pray. Pray for those who are working. Pray for those who are going to be here. Pray for those who are going to be investing. Pray for those who might become frazzled through the week. Pray that God would give them a settling and comfort and bring peace and calm their classes and minister to the children. Pray for yourself that you'll be ready in the way of study. Listen, if you're teaching and you're speaking about Jesus, study as much as you can. And then when the moment comes when you speak to them, rely on the Holy Spirit. Be faithful to get into your scripture. Know what the theme of the week is. Know what the topic for each day is. Be ready with those scripture. Listen, you're going to say, okay, kids, let's memorize this scripture. Well, if you don't know it, why should you expect a child to start memorizing it? Let's know what we're teaching. And then when the moment comes to stand before them, you pray, Holy Spirit, take over. Use me as a vessel in your hand. Pray heartily for those children that will be entrusted to your care, that God would fill them with your Spirit. God would fill them with the Holy Spirit. God would fill them with a wisdom and an insight and the eyes to be able to see spiritual truth that otherwise the evil one's blinding their eyes to not hear. We need to be praying heavily that spiritual growth happens, that families that are bringing these children will be impacted in their homes as ready. And even for those who already know Jesus, that they'll grow in the Lord. Just like the Apostle Paul, Apollos here, maybe there are some that know Jesus pretty good, but now this week they're going to learn it a little bit better. Pray that they'll have willing hearts, that they'll be teachable, like Apollos was. He was humbled. You know what? He didn't retaliate. He didn't stiffen up and say, why are y'all trying to teach me? I know Scripture better than y'all. He allowed himself to be taught. There are going to be some children that need to have that kind of spirit in our midst. Oh, I've been to church. I know all this stuff. Yeah, well, you don't know it all. Your preacher doesn't even know it all. Your Bible study teacher doesn't know it all. So we need to have those kind of willing hearts. So pray that all of that. Prepare. Know your scripture. Know your material. Know the kids as best you can. And then prompt. Be on time. Be in place. Be where you need to be. It might be tempting for some of the young people to go run up and meet with their friends and not be attentive to the assignments that they have within their groups. Might be somewhat tempting for the adults to sneak off and just leave the young ones to take care of it and go have a snack and gripe about what you're having to deal with the others. Listen, be where you're supposed to be. These kids are needing you this week. There are some kids that we're going to have in our midst that do not have any spiritual impact in their life. And this might be the one week that could make a giant difference in their lives. When we look at the rest of the story, Apollos, after they shared the way of God more accurately, he wanted to go across to Achaia, again in the maps. You might say, gosh, you in the maps. Makes a difference. On the west coast of Turkey is where Ephesus is. But if you go across the Aegean Sea, then you come over to the area of Achaia. The biblical area of Achaia. And that's where he wanted to go. And you know, Corinth is over there. And so the church of Corinthians, very important in the scripture. There's two letters in the New Testament addressed to the church at Corinth. Apollos was instrumental in ministering there. And what we find here is that he wanted to go across. The brethren encouraged him and so had the support of the church. Listen, we don't know that some of these kids that get prompted at this vacation Bible school might not in the future, maybe even the near future, have a heart to do missions or have a heart to go into ministry. You know what? We've had good baseball players and good football players and good politicians and had city councilmen and great teachers go out from Edna. Why couldn't there be a spiritual leader that comes out from Edna? There's no reason. Especially if we're faithful to what God wants to do in our midst. There could be every reason for it to happen. We look at this, that as he went, the church sent him, he arrived, he helped greatly those who believed through grace, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, demonstrating the scriptures Jesus was the Christ. That is encouraging to me, that we may have some children in our midst that could be used by the Lord in such a way that would impact the world. And you might say, well, we're not sure of that. Well, let me tell you a little story. Back in the 1800s, there was a shy school teacher. He was very humble. His name was Edward Kimball. He taught some young boys in junior high class, and they were all pretty rambunctious because they were boys. But there was one in particular who just would not settle down and listen. He seemed like he was never going to come to know the Lord. And so one Saturday afternoon, Mr. Kimball decided to go into the town, and he was going to go to where this young boy worked as a worker in a shoe store, and he worked back in the stock room and brought shoes out from the shelves in the back. And he sat down with him, and he shared about Jesus to this young boy. He left that meeting feeling despondent, saying, well, that boy didn't catch any of that. Well, it turns out that young boy did hear what Brother Edward Kimball, that old humble Sunday school teacher, had to say. And Dwight L. Moody eventually became a believer. Dwight L. Moody became a great evangelist. He evangelized on two different continents. And as he evangelized on those continents, while he was in England during one crusade, a man by the last name of Myers was converted. Well, Myers shared Christ with a man named Wilbur Chapman, who also became an evangelist, was preaching crusade when a professional baseball player attended one of those meetings. That's when Billy Sunday was converted. Billy Sunday eventually took Chapman's place as an evangelist in that group and preached crusades. He went to a place in the United States called Charlotte, North Carolina, and some college students had attended that crusade, and after the crusade, they started a Bible study. And their Bible study group decided to invite another evangelist to come and preach at their church, at their school. His name was Mordecai Ham. And one night, as Mordecai Ham was preaching, a young high school student was intrigued by what might be going on under that tent. And so that high school student went. He left that meeting saying, I'll never go back. Well, he did go back another night. And it turns out that that young high school student said yes to Jesus. His name was Billy Graham. Billy Graham, if some of you hadn't noticed, was a mighty evangelist. He shared the gospel in over 210 million people in 185 different countries. He died this past February, 99 years old. God blessed him with a long life. But even more important than that, many people came to know Jesus because Billy Graham was faithful. But you know, it all started with that little humble Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball way back there. And it'd be very easy for us to forget that Sunday school teachers and vacation Bible school teachers and people that are working with others aren't really important in the whole scheme of things. But God works mightily through those who are faithful to Him. And we have a great opportunity this week, church, to minister to children. At the end of this month, when camps happen, to see lives get changed and impacted and set on fire for the Lord. Let's be faithful to take those aside and teach them more accurately the Word of Jesus. Be faithful to be the ones that are willing to be submitted to teaching. Perhaps tonight you'll come sit in the meeting tonight. Maybe you hadn't planned on coming to discipleship study, thinking it might be a bore. We have a great time. And you might learn something if you have a willing and submissive heart. Who knows what God might do through you. Let's take this to heart. This coming month, we have great opportunities. Just because summer's here doesn't mean that God quits working. Sometimes it means that's when God really begins His work. Let's be found faithful in doing what He's called us to do. Let's bow together for prayer. Lord, You give us life eternal. We start out as sinners, useless, at war with You, hating You and righteousness, and Lord, You send Your Son Jesus to come die on the cross to pay the price of our sins so that we might recognize Your goodness and Your mercy through that act of that sacrifice. And Father God, You give us eyes that might see, hearts that would respond to that great offer of life eternal if we just submit to You. Lord God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for giving opportunity. Father, this week may we be found faithful in extending that opportunity to others. In whatever manner of work you assign us to this week, may we see that that is the bottom line. What it comes down to is that eternal life for someone is hanging in the balance. Lord God, thank you that you give us that privilege. You removed us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light, that we might partake of your holiness, your blessing, one day the inheritance that you have laid out for us. Well, Lord God, in the meantime, help us to be found faithful to you. Help us, Father, be willing to learn. Help us, Father, be able to be developed more accurately so that we might be found faithful witnesses and not spurn the opportunities that you're giving us in these days. Father, stir us from where you want us to be to where you want us, where we are to where you want us to be. I pray, Father, for that one soul or more that's in this place today and perhaps this morning, they're being stirred in their hearts to submit themselves to you through Christ. And finally recognizing that Jesus' death on the cross wasn't just so we'd have a holiday, but it was so that their sin might be forgiven and they might be made right with you and be given life eternal and have the assurance of eternity. Father, I pray someone experience that great joy and peace today. Draw us to yourself would be our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.